Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad, uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting. Her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Everybody, welcome to our show today. With me in studio is Pita Morton. Pita is a professional Reiki and mindfulness teacher, author, and public speaker. Her warm, informal, and open style of teaching has inspired clients and students all around the world. She shares practical, intuitive tools which encourage self-inquiry, increased awareness, healing, and personal transformation. And today we're going to deepen the conversation and we're going to talk all about vibrational well-being, the power of world. I'm crazy today. The power of word in creating a sound world. Welcome, Pita, to the show. Thanks for being with me today.
Oh, hi, Kara. Thank you so much for having me here. You know, I listen to your show and you have such amazing people and you've created such a wonderful, warm community. I'm really excited to be part of it.
I'm excited too. You have so many gifts and we can explore so much together. And I would like to start in a very curious place, a place that is our home. And yet it's a place that many of us forget to tend to. It is our body. And our body, as you know, as you work a lot with spirit and body, is constructed of all these chemical elements and 7 billion, billion, billion atoms that are cooperating with each other to produce this physical representation that we have, our blood, our bones, our teeth. And I was going to ask you when you thought that you were truly a rock star with all these elements that are inside your body. That is a sweet joke. what turned you on to knowing that it was what turned you on to knowing that it is this magnificent body that we have, but also this amazing connection, this interconnectedness that we all live, that was your true path?
My heart. Do you know there's a part of me that still hasn't quite wrapped her head around it? You know, that this idea that we're vibrational, you know, that makes sense because I feel it. You know, I feel mm-hmm. those vibrations moving within me. But this concept, you know, we hear often that we're made up of empty space. Right. You know, everything's just molecules vibrating, and even when you go down beyond the molecules, you know, all the way down to the quarks and the leptons, and you know, the tiny bits of alleged matter that exist. Even those aren't really solid, you know, that right. They're just fields oscillating, vibrating. And that, you know, I still have trouble wrapping my head around that. I don't think I've really come to terms with it. You know, I'm sat on this chair and it feels solid. My feet are on the floor right. and it's, you know, if I stub my toe, it hurts. And right. it still blows my mind to think, wow, is this really just empty space? You know, yeah, it kind of defies all logic. So I don't know that I've had that moment yet. You know, a few years ago I had, that kind of led me onto this path. I had quite a profound awakening experience, and it was a bit of a spontaneous out-of-body experience, you know, a bit like people have when they're having a near-death experience, except I wasn't in the process of dying or anything like that. And I literally found myself sort of whizzing through the cosmos. I was like, I was in the universe, but I was simultaneously knew I was the universe. And, you know, just this feeling of expansion and space and, you know, it's really, really hard to describe, but I really had that sensation that I was all of it. And it's fascinated me ever since, you know, that experience, it will never leave me. And I'm sure lots of people, you know, have had something similar, but... That was kind of my moment, was realizing that, oh, wow, I was literally just, I had no sensation of having a body at all. I was just a point of consciousness, you know, just a point of pure consciousness. You know, and over the years, I've had other similar experiences during Reiki sessions, you know, when I've found myself kind of inside somebody's blood vessels, or, you know, looking at somebody's esophagus and going, what's that all about? So yeah, realizing that as consciousness, you can go absolutely anywhere. It's deep, but yeah. So I think that if I had to choose a moment, that would be it.
I've had those moments too, and I think they're powerful, because in that moment we know that there is no death. So a lot of fear, we lose a lot of our fears, or at least that's what happened to me, when you feel your body go into that expansive non-body state. There's something there, very liberating.
Oh,
is it true? I read in your book, which I thought was crazy and mind-blowing, you said that if we remove all the space from our bodies, that the whole compacted humanity could be squeezed in the area of a single sugar cube. Now, and so tell me more about the remaining 99.9% of space that is oscillating and vibrant. I mean, is it true that that space can be squeezed into a single sugar cube? That is, like, really crazy.
Well, I mean, I'll be the first one to put my hands up and say, you know, I'm not a scientist, and that's something that I've read and I've listened to scientists saying too. So,
like,
you know,
wow.
How they come to that calculation, I have no idea. But it's mind blowing, isn't it? That's and what's left, and yet we're so focused on what we can see and what we can touch, and we don't pay any attention to that supposedly empty space, which isn't empty at all. It's teeming with activity, you know.
Right.
Absolutely, it's vibrant and it's live and it's responsive and it's constantly changing, and yet we don't notice it because we can't see it. It's beyond our range of sight and hearing. So we just, you know, I guess we see that, you know, wind moves the air a little bit, but we don't pay much attention beyond that to actually this air that's around us is actually teeming with movement and vibration and oscillations and changes in temperature. And yeah, it fascinates me. You know, the ether fascinates me.
And sound, right? This is a show a lot about also sound. I think that people forget everything that is alive has sound. You were just talking about the wind, the ocean, you know, all the whole animal kingdom. We have sound. Our organs have frequencies. It has a lot of sound, and so much sound that we can't even hear the sound of ourselves, but they do have. They are emitting sound. So when we say of sound body and of sound mind, making sound decisions, intuitively we know that sound means harmony and wholeness. And yet again, we tend not to tune into it. We think of sound more like noise. I think a lot of people think, oh my God, it's so noisy, right? But actually, it's incredibly vibrant and beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, there's a quote from Hazrat Inayat Khan, and he said, although it's been dimmed by manifestation, your thought, your mind is also made of sound. And I love that. You know, every thought has a frequency, and obviously frequency, you know, frequency creates sound and movement, and our thoughts and our heart energy, they all generate sound, but it's just not within our range of movement, our range of hearing. But you know, it might be inaudible, but there's still sound. You know, I think today with the technology that's available to us, you know, today we can listen to the sounds that cells are making in the body. And yet we couldn't do that. You know, only a few short years ago we weren't able to do that. And now we realize that each sound, each organ is like your body's like an orchestra, you know, with all these different sounds and rhythms and cycles and all constantly interacting with each other. And it really is. There's a music. It's just it's just beyond us. But it, you know, it doesn't mean to say just because we can't hear it, it doesn't exist. You know, I always think of the dog. You know, you whistle for a dog. I can't hear that dog whistle, but my dog comes running. And so, you know, just because it's not within our range of hearing, and today we're starting to be able to hear these processes that we couldn't before. So I've always been, you know, in that experience I described, I had quite a knowing that we would. That Reiki. Well, I've always kind of felt Reiki was a sound. You know, it was an energy that was made from sound, and I was just, you know, never quite sure how I'd actually get to see that. But you know, today we're actually able to see these sounds, these energies in cymatics forms. You know, if you look at something through an instrument, you know, a cymatics view or a cymoscope, you can actually see how these sounds create movement and different geometric patterns. And you can see how different molecules start vibrating in response to certain frequencies. You know, you can play one, you can have one frequency, and I saw a video the other day that John Stuart Reed shared, which I absolutely loved. And they played a certain frequency, and all the molecules of a similar size in this Petri dish, all of a sudden they all started vibrating like mad and chasing each other around the pan. It was really quite funny. And yet all the ones were a different size. They all remained static. They were all completely inert, didn't do anything. And then as they changed the frequency, all the little ones suddenly started jumping into life and interacting with another, and the big ones calmed down. And I just found that really, you know, really quite fascinating to watch. You know, these how different sound and different frequency, we had different sounds and different frequency produce different effects, and something can be very still. At one point, and then suddenly burst into life just in response to a certain tone or a frequency, and it completely changes the way that something behaves. Yeah.
Yeah, I was introduced to your work actually on the internet, and I was watching a video where you were doing Reiki at a distance. And what was so fascinating, I mean, for those of us who are, you know Reiki, of course, you could also say maybe sending energy through your hands or healing with the hands. I don't know which other terms there are, but focused intent. And but what was fascinating was that somebody was in the room capturing the beautiful mandalas that were being created, and also one could hear the sounds. And I think that is pretty phenomenal, that you can see the shapes of the energy. I mean, my question is for you: when you're doing the Reiki session, do you just receive images, or are you focused on sending a certain sound or a certain word, such as love or health or wellness, or does that depend on the situation?
It depends on the situation. Sometimes I'll hold a very specific intention, but most of the time my intention is very general, actually, and I prefer just to trust that the energies know, you know. I think if I let my mind get in the way, then I miss a lot of stuff, you know. My mind thinks it knows what needs doing, and it's not always the case, you know. Sometimes, you know, somebody might have they might have a tendonitis, and so I'll be thinking, oh, I must concentrate the energy on that thumb that's really sore. And actually what happens is it's nothing to do with that. It might be, you know, it might be to do with a breathing problem, or, you know, there might be an emotional problem that, always there's an emotional problem frequently there's an emotional or mental trigger that underpins a lot of imbalance or disease, you know. And so what I tend to do is I just hold that space. I just step into that place of stillness, and into the heart, and I will just hold space, and I'll just form an intention that they receive whatever they need for their best and highest good. And I tend to let Reiki, let the universe, source, whatever word you want to label it, I let the energy decide what that looks like. I see myself acting more as a tuning fork, actually. It's kind of like with my intention, I tap that tuning fork, and, you know, it starts a vibration, and somewhere on the other side of the planet with that person I'm sat with, they also start to resonate. And as long as I'm in that place where I remember my true self, I remember who we really are, I don't tend to look at that that illness or that imbalance. That's not where I'm focused. Where my focus is on is, you know, who are we really at our essence? Mm-hmm. And so that's where I'll sit. I'll just sit very quietly in that space. And, you know, it's I'm very lazy. You know, I don't do a lot. I sit and I let the energies do their work. And sometimes it's very quick. Sometimes it takes a bit longer. You know, everybody has their own rhythms. And I just pay attention to whatever comes up. So
beautiful.
But those mandalas you talked about.
Yep, Peter was going to take a very, very short break. We're going to stay in that relaxed, receptive, easy place and be back in a few moments with Peter Morton and the joy of being on the Reiki path.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs, and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, Schedule one-on-one time and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
Why was the basketball court all wet?
Because the players kept dribbling on it.
The dad joke. Corny, groan-worthy, but also one of the simplest ways to share a moment with your kids.
What did the buffalo say when he dropped his son off for school?
Bye, son.
So take a moment to make your kid laugh, because dad jokes rule. Make your kid laugh today. Go to fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, everybody. My name is Kara Johnson. You're at Voice Rising, and in studio with me today is Peter Martin. And we had just left off. We were talking about the Reiki sessions and being able to actually hear tones while Reiki is being received and sent. And you were just about to touch on the mandala patterns that are appearing. I mean, the videos that I've seen of your work, there are scientists that are now studying this and seeing these beautiful mandalas that are changing and appearing depending on where you are in the session. So maybe you want to share a little bit more about that.
It's been an interesting process, really, because I started, you know, I live in the back end of beyond in rural France, and a few years ago I decided it, you know, might be quite good for client work if I, you know, I had a wider client base. So I decided to start working with people a bit further afield, and, you know, I'm quite lazy, so to be able to work in English as opposed to, you know, constantly having to work in French all the time, I just thought it was useful, and I started working on Skype, and it was really quite bizarre. You know, we'd be sat there having a perfectly normal conversation on Skype, and yet the moment I started to share Reiki with somebody, and I say Reiki very loosely, you know, it could be the same, you know, it doesn't really matter what the healing technique, you know, is it? But mm-hmm. as soon as mm-hmm. we stepped into that space where we were sharing life force energy, you know, all these sounds started you know, coming out of the speakers of my computer, you know, you get this whoom, whoom, whoom sound, or sometimes it would be very rapid and high pitched, you know, like a beep, 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 and, you know, or a staticky sound, and different sounds for different sessions and different people, and it was just something that it fascinated me for years now. You know, I've recorded hundreds of these sessions, and it's just really quite fascinating that you'll have a perfectly normal conversation, and then the minute you start to share, up it starts again. So you can see a link between that conscious decision to share, you know, life force energy, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and then these sounds that suddenly start manifesting out of the speakers. And so what I started doing was I started recording them, and I'd watched a couple of videos about cymatics, and cymatics is the study of sound and vibration made visible. So what they do, you've probably seen them with a Chladni plate, the old-fashioned Chladni plate, and yeah. they used to sprinkle sand on, and somebody would bow it or bow near it, and then there'd be a certain frequency or a certain note that would come out, and the sand would move into certain patterns in response to the frequency and the vibration and the tone that was being generated. Well, obviously, it's got a little bit more sophisticated today, and so what you can do is you have this you know, a cymoscope or a cymatics viewer. And it's basically a little dish of water. You can do it at home with your speaker, you know. You get one of these little portable speakers, and you can put a little bottle top of water on top of a speaker and, you know, stick an aux lead into and a, you know, and play a note through the speaker. And as long as you've got a tiny little bit of water in there, the water will respond to the vibrations that go through it. The surface of the water membrane will it creates these patterns. And if you shine a little, you know, you shine a light on it or a torch, you can actually see all these geometric patterns that form on the surface of the water membrane. And I'd been watching these videos, and they absolutely mesmerized me, because I kind of knew that's how we'd be able to see Reiki. And so I started recording the sessions and playing the sound from these sessions through a cymatics viewer. To begin with, I got John Stuart Reed was really kind, and his wife Annalise she's a sound healer. So, you know, when I approached them about it, they got it straight away. I said, mm-hmm. "Oh, I think we might be able to see Reiki this way." And I thought, "Oh, they're going to take me for a complete nut job," you know. And it's like, you know, I'm phoning this, you know, acoustic physicist, and he's going to think I'm completely barking. And they straight away they go, "Oh, well, of course you'll see life force energy that way, and of course you will." So we started, you know, playing these sessions through the cymoscope or through, you know, any cymatics viewer, and filming and just seeing what was going on. And it's been really, really fascinating. You know, sometimes you have certain sounds that make really beautiful, very precise geometric structures, you know, pentagons and, you know, 12 and 14-fold geometry, these very lots of vortices everywhere, you know, these toroidal energy, very much like the breath, you know, the torus, where you have energy coming in and energy coming out, and then there's other sessions that are just, you know, full of static and disharmony and discord. And, you know, there's virtually no geometry that forms, you know, lots of big holes in it and very chaotic. Or sometimes they're very, I found when people are really super emotional about something, you know, when there's a really emotive subject, it kind of really amplifies that subtle energy that's already present. And it's very hard for any sort of stable geometry to form at all, in the same way that if you were to, you know, to stick a loud noise through that speaker, if you were to pay any sound and you were to turn the volume up with the amplitude, all the water jumps out of the dish and, you know, it just gets really buzzy and chaotic. And you know, I think it gives us a window on what's actually going on inside our bodies in response to our thoughts and our emotions. You know, I think there's these processes going on in the air around us and within us all the time, dependent on what we're thinking and what we're feeling and the environment that we're in, you know, what's going on around us. So, yeah, it's been a really, really... I mean, I'm still right at the very... I've still got a million more questions than I've found answers to, but, yeah, it's a curious Pandora's box to delve into.
And so do these patterns then change? Let's say somebody comes into a session and one senses that there are no geometric forms that can really be formed and there's a lot of emotional charge. And with that deeper meditative space or state, or with that harmony that comes, maybe the body is able to relax and start reconnecting more. Do you sense that then the patterns, they start changing, of course, with the state of mind or the body comes then into the harmony, and then you see patterns that are more harmonic?
Well, I don't do the patterns in real time. I'd love to find a way to do that. I'm sure it's possible. I haven't worked out how to do that yet. I know it's doable, but we don't know how to do it in real time. So I tend to just do a recording. I would have expected, that's what I expected to happen. And sometimes you hear, you know, very often those sounds are quite rhythmical anyway. You know, a lot of the time I get this sound, it's like almost like a washing machine. You know, it's a very cyclical sound. It's like a shum, 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 you know. It literally sounds like somebody's got the tumble dry going round and round and round. And it just depends on the session. Sometimes the sounds stabilize very, very quickly. And, you know, they might start off a bit all over the place and very, very erratic. And gradually they settle down into something much more, you know, they come into coherence. You know, that there are sessions where I feel like, well, this is what heart coherence feels like. You know, this is, you know, you hear about it, but it's like, oh, I can actually hear this. You know, we're literally both synced. We're in, you know, we're synchronized. But there are some sessions it doesn't change at all, and yet the person will still end up feeling a whole lot better afterwards. So it's a big variable. It hasn't happened as consistently as I would have expected it to do. So, you know, the jury's still out on that one.
But there's a power, I think, when we realize that, like you said, if the thoughts have, you know, if we are, let's say if we say we're in vibrant health, that is about vibration, right? Vibrational.
Yeah, well-being. Definitely.
And our thoughts have frequency and tone, and our words have power and can affect our environment as well as send messages to our body. And of course, we know that, you know, singing changes a lot of chemistry in the body. Then suddenly we have the key to well-being in our hand, because
definitely
we can control our own vibratory state. And I think that's the key that I'm always, you know, fascinated with. Also why the show is called Voice Rising, because I think that we have a lot of focus on the heart field, which is very good, which is very strong, which is a very, you know, big force in our lives, and on our thoughts and mind. But we also have an organ floating on top of this, you know, connecting the two, if we talk about coherency, that is giving messages to our body and also to the world. That is also the same as the breath. We are receiving and we are emitting frequencies, pulsations, rhythms, and messages, you know, conditionings, beliefs, 24/7. Even in our
dreams. Yeah, absolutely.
We have, you know, and to become aware of that is quite magical.
Yeah, I mean, the word for breath and spirit is the same thing. You know, if you
right.
trace the etymology back of the word, back in the day, there was no differentiation between the word breath and spirit. You know, they all come from the word spiritus back in Latin and way back before that. And, you know, spirit, it was always said to be the bridge between that communicative, intelligent bridge between the physical and the non-physical, the matter and spirit, if you like. It was a point of communication between the two. And I kind of think that's what we're touching on, you know, the logos or the logos. I think that's what we're tapping into. And, you know, when these sounds come through the speakers, like, I mean, my whole house vibrates. You know, I literally, not all the time, you know, some sessions are very, very quiet. And, you know, like in life, there are some sessions that are very active and some sessions that are very, very calm. You know, some people have a very contracted energy, and some people have quite an excited, you know, fast moving, overexcited, you know, thoughts all over the place, very scattered, very nervous energy. And you know, I think most healers would say if they pass their hands over somebody who is a nervous, you know, a bag of nerves, you feel it. It's like sticking your hand up against a telly, you know, your hand goes. And yet other people that they have a very poor energetic circulation. Everything is depressed and stagnant, and for me, this life force energy, it's like a river. It needs to flow, to be vibrant and alive, and healthy. You know, that flow is vital. But what I love in these sessions is the way that you hear this stuff coming through the speakers of the computer, and My kitchen, because at the moment my computer's in the kitchen, and I've tried on different computers, but everything literally vibrates, and it literally is like sitting in the middle of a big sound bar. I mean, it's delicious. It's like, hang on a second, I'm getting paid to do this. I keep pinching myself, but you know, I spend my days online. You know, apart from the fascination of what I'm doing, I'm getting these just really gorgeous, juicy, delicious sound baths. And they constantly change. You know, it's not like you have a frequency or a tone that comes through. There's never two sessions the same. From minute to minute, they change. You know, you might have common themes, but it's constantly evolving. And it just feels like somehow we're tapped onto that. There's a frequency. Maybe it's not even a frequency, but there is a feeling of well-being, you know, of love, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And once you're in that space, then everything else just sort of evens itself out. It just balances itself out. Again, it's back to that tuning fork. And it's not a question of actually needing to do anything. Everything, you know, the tones and the frequencies all... they just balance themselves out. Once you're sat in that steady, sure space of where you're feeling, wow, I feel good. that's all that's required. It's like, what a horrible job I have. My job is to feel good and to sit still and to have a nice samba.
But isn't that the law of resonance, right? I mean, we have the resonance. So if one person is in a good whole space, it's a little bit like water does this too, right? So if you have unhealthy water and healthy water, the healthy water will more or less be able to program the unhealthy water very quickly.
Yeah, and what are we? Right? How much water are we made of? You know, we are.
Yeah.
You know, I thought we were around about 70%, but I listened to a water conference yesterday, and they were saying, no, we're closer to, you know, 99% water.
Oh, really?
If not more. Yeah, they've done some new calculations for molecules, and they reckon we're made of far more water than they previously thought. And yeah, so if you can do that to a glass of water, and you know, you just see weather systems changing in response to, you know.
Well, there you get back to the feeling you had in the beginning, this oceanic expansiveness, right? If you think of sound, it also comes through in waves. I mean, we have sound waves. So if we are water beings, then we're oceanic. We're going to take a very short break, and we're going to be back in a few moments.
Conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're back at Voice Rising. I am Kara Johnson, and in studio today with me is Peter Morton, a teacher, a Reiki healer, master, beautiful soul. We're talking about sound consciousness and how it affects our bodies. Peter, geometric patterns are made through vibrations, but they're also made through, of course, words. So how does the power of word shape our lives?
Well, I think word and thought, actually. You know, I think they're all different. For me, that I think they're different densities of the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I know a lot of the old teachers, the old Sufi teachers, for example, will say that that they're just different. They're all the word and the thought just as much part of the material world as, you know, a table or a chair or a body. They're just finer. They're more spacious. And mm-hmm. It's all about more space or less space. You know, it's all the same. It's all the same juicy. I don't know, this energy. It's just such a, you know, such a vague word. It's so difficult to find it. I've been in France too long. It's difficult to. I mean, they're just different states of the same substance, really. That same energetic substance. You know, that same life force substance, and all of it responds to frequency and vibration, and thought produces frequency and vibration, and word does the same. You know, mm-hmm. It's just that thought is much finer. You know, with mm-hmm. word, you can see. You know, when there's a physical outward manifestation of word. You know, you see the effects in the real world. You know, if you blow what you're speaking next to a window in winter, you see there's something going on externally. Whereas thought is much more of an internal process. Mm-hmm. But there's nevertheless an effect, which we see now with you know, with electrodes and, you know, brainwave patterns and things like that. But the word is probably the first external expression of that that thing that's been inspired internally. You know, where do those thoughts come from? You know, why do we feel inspired to do that? You know, it's one of those great questions, isn't it? It's like, mm-hmm. which came first? Who decided to think that thought? But the word is the first outward expression. It's the first tangible expression of that process that goes on within us. You know, it's the first time that those things actually appear in our physical reality. And the word's so powerful. You know, we shape so much with the spoken word. You know, we can inspire people. We cause havoc with our words.
You know, of course, we can destroy and we can uplift with a word. Yeah, with one word. I mean, how many clients have you and I had that are struggling or not feeling well because of a conversation or because of something they remember being said to them at some point in time, and it's still anchored somewhere in their bodies?
All the time. I see it over and over again. I remember my own mum, and my granddad once said to her, he introduced her and her sister, and he said, "Oh, and this is the pretty one," and he pointed mm-hmm. to her sister. And she, you know, she's in her 70s now, and she still remembers that. You know, it still stings. But you know, we have this idea that the words are, you know, the physical aspect's obvious. You know, if you speak near water, you'll see the water moving. But you know, the words, when you think about it, they're actually generated by the soul. You know, you never speak something without having thought about it or felt an emotion connected with it. That always comes first. There's always a thought before. Well, I don't know. Maybe some people do speak without thinking too deeply. But you know, generally, there's a thought process and there's an emotion that's generated internally before we actually express that outwardly. And Do you know, they really hold a mirror up for what's going on with us as well. You know, you can tell when somebody's speaking their truth, can't you? You know, you just have to watch a politician and you go, wow, oh, I don't know that I really trust you, you know. And yet there'll be somebody there that, you know, will give this passionate, inspired speech, or somebody that's, you know, a musician that's really singing from the heart. And there's something, you know, you feel it. You feel the integrity of those words. They have such a massive impact upon other people. You know, you can pull people down. You can make them feel really heavy and worthless, really very, very quickly. You know, I think it takes practice. You know, choosing words that support people and inspire them and uplift them. It's, you know, I'm still working on it. We love to gossip, don't we?
Yeah, or I think, you know, for me it was interesting to watch also children, and when they're very, very young and they have their first words, it's as if they're holding gold in their hand and they know it. They say the one word and it's not even complete. It's like wah-wah. And it ends up being that, you know, everybody turns around and says, you want water? You know, everyone's trying so much to get them to communicate, right, and to connect. Or they say mama, and then suddenly the most beautiful woman in the world, you know, goes across the room and picks them up
and smiles at them. Yeah.
And smiles them. And at some point they have command of their language, and then they use the language to say no and I don't want it. And then that's where all this craziness starts. That,
yeah, you've met my kids then.
Yeah, well, you know, and then, you know, then this is the tricky part, right? So this is my curious question to you, all right? So this is the struggle that so many people have, and including myself at times, is the one thing is to become more conscious of the power of word. And the one thing is to become more conscious about how our words not only affect our community and our beloveds and our friends and but also our own well-being, right? To, you know, many people would say, choose your words wisely, count till 10 until you say something. So that's the one side. The other side is that I've met many people that have been silenced in their life, that have lost their voice, that can't even find the words to express their emotions. And when those emotions come up, they're raw, they're jagged, they're rough. They're not pretty. So how can we find this balance and not repress our emotions and just, you know, by putting out everything that's polite and pretty and positive, and still find that authenticity that we need to be well?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two very good points there. And the first is that, you know, that emotion that's being suppressed, you know, ultimately, it's just a feeling. It's a vibration. It's a sensation. It's energy in motion, you know, and it's usually the more we suppress it, the more, you know, the more it's amplified, the more, you know, and it's funny, isn't it, when you're just about to cry, you know, you're just about to, you held something down for years and years and years and years, and then the minute you start to talk about it, you start to actually express it, that's when the tears come. It's funny, you've kept it under wraps. But really, it's just energy that needs to move. It's energy that's been pushed down and contained and, you know, pressurized almost. So when you actually give it that outlet, it quite often expresses itself. And we don't like it. It feels uncomfortable. But it is just a sensation. And I think just by taking, without, you know, cutting yourself off and in a very cold way, but, you know, just by being curious and compassionate with yourself and just go, well, what am I feeling? And what are the stories I'm telling myself about what I'm feeling? You know, ultimately, it's just weather. It's just like clouds in the sky, and it will pass. You know, if I don't judge it too much, just allow it to be present. And it's actually when we repress it that, you know, that's when it hangs around and it gets contracted and dense and it crystallizes in the body and, you know, causes all sorts of pain. But actually, when we let that move, it moves on through. And I think the trick is becoming curious and detached. It's probably too extreme a word, but just being a curious observer, I think, mm-hmm. and just watching and feeling and noticing and saying, okay, let it be there, you know. And just being curious about, well, what are the stories I've told myself about, you know, whatever it happens to be, you know, mm-hmm. am I really useless? Am I always useless? You know, yeah. didn't I, and actually letting yourself think, well, no, actually, I've done some things where I wasn't useless. You know, I did this quite well, and I did that quite well, and you know, there's all we've got so much self talk, and I think it's really interesting actually to take the time to notice what you tell yourself, and I think that starts actually by noticing what you're thinking. You know, quite often I'll put a little app on my iPhone and It will ping at me every hour or so, and I'll go, okay, what have I got in my mind right now? And you go, oh my God, I'm doing that thing again. I'm telling myself this story again. But, you know, just noticing what's going on and saying, is this true, what I'm telling myself? Mm-hmm. Or am I, you know, I love a drama. I love to whip things up, and, you know, I love a little bit of melodrama.
We are all storytellers, and we're in the storytelling age, which I think is why we must be so aware of this, because we have more information going into our bodies, more stories, more social media, more news than many, many of our ancestors did, who might have spent a quiet evening by candlelight knitting the socks or whatever, right? So I think to become aware that our bodies are ingesting and needing to ingest all these stories that we are feeding ourselves with, whether it's self-talk or radio or, you know,
Social media.
Yeah, or social media, right? And to really be aware that everybody that we are close to, every friend, every, you know, wife and husband, every child, we are all contributing to each other's making, right? And I mean, that is such a beautiful thing that we are co-creators, and it's also such a fragile thing that we can, again, like you said, you know, with certain words, we can, you know, uplift, and we can also really harm, you know. So
yeah, I mean, you just have to go onto Twitter and see some of the things that people are saying. You know, it's a very fine line, isn't it? And deciding what you're going to engage with and how you're going to engage with it. You know, how responsible am I going to be with this? Or, you know, and what do you tolerate, and what do you have to stand up and say, no, this is not acceptable. This is, you know, and that question, am I adding to the resistance by saying, no, this is not on, this is really not on, you know, or am I just, at what point does that generate more resistance? You know, how do I say that? And, you know, how can I maybe take something that is discordant and disharmonious and, you know, really uncomfortable, or that makes me, you know, makes you feel uncomfortable, and how can I flip that into, how can I recognize that there's this thing in my life that I don't want, and how can I then put my focus on creating something more beautiful, or co-creating something, you know, how quickly can I say, okay, that's the thing I recognize, that's not something I want to keep perpetuating, it's not a story I want to keep cycling round and round, and exactly. So what story do I want to create in its place, and what does that look like, and who do I need around me to make something more harmonious? You know, how do we do that? What does that look like?
At the end of your book, you have a new book out, and it's a wonderful book for those listening. It's called Ancient Teachings for Modern Times, The Way to a Rich and Deeply Satisfying Life. And at the end of the book, you actually leave us with a Sufi challenge, which I think is quite inspiring, and I think it's great to say it now at the end of the show. And there are 4 points. Do not compare. It's a 30-day challenge, okay? So we can all jump in on this challenge. I challenge all of us.
Let me know how you get on, because I still can't do it.
Okay, number one, do not compare. I think it's fabulous. Do not complain. Do not criticize. Do not condemn. And you know, these lines, they touched me because I thought in our world today, which is very challenging at times, I thought, okay, if one doesn't, let's say, criticize, you know, the political sphere or, you know, whatever we're going to criticize, then the flip side is I'm going to use my words to inspire, to enlighten, to research, to be curious, to explore. And that's going to be increasing the vibrational, I don't even want to say increasing the vibrational, creating a vibrational frequency, which most likely will be more harmonious. Can one say that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, for example, if we're in an environment where we're surrounded, which I tend to think we have been, by lies, then our job has got to be more honest and speak our truth.
Exactly. Speak our truth. Peter Martin, petermartin.com. Thank you for being with me today on the show. I think that I will have you on the show more often because we've only touched, we've only brushed on so many things that I would love to explore with you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's been lovely.
Wish you a beautiful night. And for those out there, get the book and check out Peter's work, petermartin.com, and really explore staying in harmony, shifting harm to harmony. That's what I always love to say. Okay, much love to you.
Oh, that's lovely.
Bye-bye.